Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, we're back. Thank you so much, DJ Q. Once again, I am Jay Flama of the Golf News Net Radio Network, and you're listening to Jay's Place. And we are back with our guest, the director of golf of Olympic Club, Will Hutter, and we're also with golf architect Bill Love, who has been doing work at the Olympic Club, got it ready for a U.S. Open, going to get it ready for a U.S. Women's Open. But right now, they're both going to be getting ready for the JB's Best Trivia Question. JB's Best Hot Sauce is the sponsor of the Jay's Play Show. And if they get the question right, they each get a bottle of JB's Best Hot Sauce and a t-shirt. All right, so here we go, guys. Are you ready? Because you're actually lucking out. You're going to get golf as the topic.
Okay.
All right, Will, you ready too?
I'll give it a shot.
All right, here we go. Pete Dye is one of America's greatest golf course architects, and 5 PGA championships have been played on his courses. But Pete's favorite golf course architect is actually the inspiration for all of his magnificent geometrically designed angles on his golf courses. Who is Pete Dye's favorite golf course architect?
Oh, man.
I believe Donald Ross.
No, who guessed Donald Ross? Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
Well, I've never heard him speak of that, but if I had to guess, it might be Seth Rayner.
We have a winner for the first time on the Jay's Play Show.
Okay.
Someone has got the trivia question right. Bill Love, you are absolutely right. Pete Dye's favorite golf course architect is Seth Rayner, the famous associate of Charles Blair McDonald. And then when McDonald died, he became the supervisor of Charles Steam Shovel Banks, the famous bloodline of McDonald, Rayner, and Banks. So, tell us, Bill, while you have the floor, who are some of your favorite golf course architects? Who did you study? Who do you like to imitate?
Well, I like Alistair McKenzie. I've always admired his approach to blending courses in with Mother Nature. You've got to look at some of his work and just think it's just absolutely outstanding. Beyond that, I draw kind of inspiration from a lot of different places that I see, and I don't necessarily go after one guy or another guy. I look at how the architecture has fit the property, and when I find a golf course that I think has done a great job at doing that, then I obviously am interested in doing it. And speaking of Seth Rayner, you go around Fisher's Island and you come back off of that golf course and you just go, my goodness, I wish.
Absolutely.
So, I think inspiration is really, if I could say it, it's a little corny, but really it's Mother Nature first, and then how well some of my architect friends, past and present, have done their work in dealing with Mother Nature.
Well, most of the listeners on the Jay's Place Show probably just stood up and started to cheer, because that's what our listeners are especially into, making the golf course eminently natural. Finding the great parts of the piece of property that you have and making the dramatic shots revolve around them as much as possible. So, and it's one of the great things about Seth Rayner was that no matter how flat a piece of property he got, he was able to get the best out of it because of the ideas that, his templates that he used to use. But flip side, Olympic Club is the other side of that coin, because there really aren't template holes at Olympic Club. It really is the terrain, the way the fairways curve and where the fairways slope, again, eminently natural, that is able to, absolutely flabbergast the very greatest names in golf. At Olympic Club, it's been a graveyard of the great champions. The other guy always seems to win. But let's take a close look at that other guy. Webb Simpson, a phenomenal ball striker and a great course manager, and somebody who will eventually contend and even possibly win at all four different majors. He plays well at Augusta. He plays well at the British Open. He plays well in U.S. Open courses, obviously, and he wins a lot on the PGA Tour. So he's got breadth and depth. You take Jim Furyk, another great golf course manager, and Graham McDowell, yet another great golf course manager, and you can see why they battled down the stretch in 2012. And as you go further back, you get Scott Simpson over Tom Watson, you get Lee Jansen over Payne Stewart, you get Billy Casper over Arnold Palmer, and of course Jack Fleck over Ben Hogan. So in a way, why is it that Olympic Club is able to do what PGA hasn't been able to do, which is have the architecture beat down the very best players instead of surrendering 20 under, 16 under, 12 under, like, say, a Kiowa or a Whistling Straits or a Crooked Stick does?
Well, for my opinion,
go ahead, Bill.
I was just going to say, I think that some of these guys that have won over some of the more renowned players, if you had to put your finger on it, don't overthink the golf course. It's what Will said earlier. It's right out there in front of you. And all you have to do is understand what it is you're trying to tackle and hit the shots correctly and not try to get cute on it. So all of these guys that have won, come back to one, and they're just this steady, 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 not making mistakes, you know. And Olympic doesn't give you too many places where you can – you know, sort of put the pedal down and throw a lot of risk out there. You know, you have to be steady when you play. So that would be my thinking behind it.
I couldn't agree more, Phil. Yeah, it is that steady player, that almost that plotter. Obviously, Hogan was that style of player. Didn't work out for him due to maybe a slip of the foot, as they say, on 18T. But great hole, great golf course. One thing that is interesting, I know, I think the trivia question was a little too architecturally based, so I'm going to have to be a little upset at that one. But one thing I have seen here at the club in 28 or 29, they actually had Seth Rayner in to do a routing. In our locker room, we have a nice sequence of how the course has evolved over the years, including the major changes by Trent Jones and before the 55 Open. But there is a actual routing. He was commissioned to do a routing in 28 or 29, but obviously never was moved forward. But Seth Rayner is one of my favorites. A lot of fun to play his golf courses. So.
You mentioned Fisher's Island, Bill. Will, how about you? What's your favorite Rayner course?
Ooh, that's always a tricky one. I love Shore Acres in Chicago. Camargo was great in Cincinnati, and I've been fortunate to play a number of great ones. But I think Shore Acres, that's just a lot of fun to play.
Well, you just inadvertently won yourself a bottle of hot sauce, too, because the second half of the trivia question is, what's Pete's favorite Rayner course? And the answer is Camargo. So when we get off the air of the show, you're both going to have, well, we can send yours to the club, obviously. I'm getting to understand that since JB's best is on every table, Will, and at least in the South, and since you're from the South, you've seen it before.
I have. Being from Sea Island, it was all over the South in a great hot sauce.
Well, I love it, okay? I'm so glad to have them as a sponsor because I love hot sauce. I'm the guy that in prep school, they gave him $25 to drink a bottle of Frank's Red Hot, and, you know, it didn't even faze me. So, and I'm the one that would sit there, you know, order the volcanic wings and such. So it's got great flavor because of the spices that he puts in it, and it's great to see a fellow golf writer do really well. So way to go, JB, and way to go, both of you guys, for getting it right. So let's get back to Seth Rayner now and Pete Dye. You know, I'm starting to wonder something, okay, that let's say Pete does the same thing as Seth Rayner does, with the angles. And let's say also that you've got similar angles at Olympic Club as well. I wonder if the difference might be that at a Whistling Straits, with no wind, with the course softened up a bit, that the boys couldn't just play lawn darts and, you know, break out the drivers. But they can't just break out the drivers and play lawn darts at Olympic Club because of the trees. As Art Stander, the great San Francisco writer, once said, there's one fairway bunker, there's no out of bounds, there's no water hazard, there's just 40,000 trees, and reverse camber. About 650 of those trees were cut down by you, Bill, because we have finally discovered how much better and healthier the turf gets when you have fewer trees around. But the playing corridors are still defined by those lovely trees with those flat branches. So could that possibly be the reason why Olympic Club, you know, doesn't get overpowered like a Whistling Straits did or a Keele Island did, because there is some air cover as well with those trees, and that your playing corridors are necessarily a little tighter?
Well, I think that if you played that golf course back in, say, 1980, when I first played it, for the first time, I mean, the trees were so thick that statement you made earlier, you know, the wind blows and balls are flying out of the trees, is true. But what they came to understand, and this was during Pat Finlan's tenure as the golf course superintendent, he's now the general manager of the club, they recognized that they have a stand of trees out there, Monterey pine trees, which are all coming to the end of their life cycle and they're diseased, and a few of them are dying every year, or more than a few. So, and for the safety of the golf course, but in addition to that, and more importantly, to improve the agronomics by getting more wind and sun in on these fairways, along with a pretty aggressive top dressing program, they could improve the playing conditions in the fairways. So the trees, what you have to realize is that the Monterey cypress that are out there, and that's by far the dominant tree, the location of key cypress trees around that golf course still can impact the way you strategize your play around the golf course. The corridors may not be quite as tight as they used to be, but the trees are still a very real presence. But let me back up and say, let me say one thing though, Jay. I think that when you talk about the trees and you talk about the topo, you're not crediting the green complexes enough. Those greens are incredibly challenging, and when you get the speed up on them and then put the fairway and the topography of the fairway back and where you have to place a tee shot to get to a certain pin, that's why Olympic never lays down, because those greens never become easier.
Well, that is true, that the adventure, you know, continues when you get to the green, and that is what makes a truly great golf course, is the undulations in the fairway and, you know, the undulations in the green, so that you have the challenge straight through to the hole. So you're right, Olympic Club has the entire package. Will, as an amateur player, you know, what do you think Olympic Club's greatest challenge is, and what do you think Olympic Club's greatest asset is?
Well, I would say our greatest challenge is just, as Bill stated, the green complexes with just one fairway bunker, and yes, we do have a great corridor of trees, much less than obviously when I was here. I played here in 2002, and I have some great pictures from then, and just 14 years later, the views and the vistas are quite a bit different because of the tree program, which has aided in our turf significantly. I've had a number of members here, especially this winter. We finally get a little rain, and the turf conditions are fantastic, and our team does a nice job. But I think the challenge is the green complexes, as Bill mentioned, with only that fairway bunker, and you know, you can get to the greens, but once you're there, they're very difficult up and down. It's just enough slope and enough topography to deal with that up and downs are difficult at the Olympic Club.
You know, and another thing that we haven't touched upon that I think is phenomenal also is the routing, Will and Bill. you know, how the course constantly shifts direction. You're never going in the same direction twice. And you're constantly having to hit a different shot off a different uneven lie to a different type of angle. So, like, say, a sawgrass, it keeps the golfer off balance, keeps them from getting into a rhythm. They just can't, you know, repeat the same swing, repeat the same swing, repeat the same swing. They're constantly adjusting to Olympic. Olympic, like a great chess player, maintains the initiative.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I agree as well.
You know, one thing also, Jay, that the removal of trees, and I, you know, I kept talking about this to the Green Committee, and we've tried to keep this message out there, and I think you'll find that it's true that back in the day when the corridors were so tight, you're playing out of chutes off the tees to, and your target area is very distinctly defined, and you're honing in on that target, and once it goes offline, you lose track of it. But now, with opening up this golf course to its beautiful topography, the psychology of the slope of the ground is much more evident and weighs in on players, in my opinion, than it did in the past. And you take a hole like number two, where before you saw position A in the fairway, and now you see that fairway cut to the left and the slope severely from right to left, and it gives you reason to pause on every tee and brings that challenge of the topography up to such a higher level than it may have been in the past.
Yeah, it's an exciting opening, okay, to start at the clubhouse and play that long, rumbling downhill first hole, long par five that, you know, empties out beautifully into that green on that little plateau, and then to go down to that tee box to the right and turn around and come right back and have that first reverse camber tee shot of the day, you know, that sharp left turn that kind of angles in an awkward kind of position so that, again, you must shape your shot. You know, that really, you know, heralds the first hole is, you know, the excitement of getting out there. The second hole is game on. And right out of the gate, those first six holes that Mike Davis said we're going to, if you finish plus two, you're going to be doing really well. And the field for the first 2 days was plus 2.58. You know, that's a great opening stretch of long, difficult par fours with that very long, difficult third hole par three. You know, your thoughts on it as an amateur golfer, Will?
Well, I obviously agree in the stats do not lie. The third hole is one of my favorites with a gorgeous downhill par three. It can stretch out to, oh, I think 247 from the back tees. With a beautiful view of the Golden Gate Bridge in the distance, if we don't have too much fog. But great opening stretch, and I think we've touched on it before, but the uphill and downhill, not just the side hill, but the fourth hole you drive down, and then you sharply uphill, and you know, it's the full club to the club and a half, and you're sometimes heading back in towards an ocean breeze. So very difficult to judge. Great sight lines, as Bill mentioned now, with the trees open. You get a different feel than you did, like I had mentioned, in 2002. It was a strict corridor golf course. You didn't see much of anything but the hole you played. And now, with the Vistas, you get a feel more for the topography and the challenges that presents.
You know, and the closing stretch is a phenomenal stretch, too, as well. You've got that short but gorgeous par 3-15th, the absolutely iconic 16th with all of the history that's happened there. And I had a great time going down to that front tee box where Furyk did exactly what I did, which is just hit it a little bit too far and not get it around the corner enough and end up in the rough, you know, and put yourself in a tough spot. I had to make that long putt from off the green for par, by the way, so that's how tough that hole is. Of course, the fantastic par 5 17th hole, short par 5 17th hole, very long par 4 left on the U.S. Open. And then at 18, which, you know, I hope I get a chance to come back because I need to get revenge on 18, and I'll tell you why, okay? We were on the tee box, and I've got my ball teed up, and the group behind us is coming up, and it's one of my golf writer buddies. And, you know, I say to him, all right, guys, here we go. Okay, last tee shot of the day, iconic hole. Okay, let's finish with a four. Let's finish with a four. I gave my camera to Ashley. And I told her, you know, just get me on the tee box. Oh, she got me on the tee box, all right. Right during my transition. And the top of my swing, I hear a big beep. Okay, everything falls apart, and I hit it about as far as Ben Hogan did the 55 over. That's what happened, buddy. So I need to get revenge, and I must say, as much as I like Ashley very much, I did take a little bit of shading for it when she took four to get out of the greenside bunker on 18. She was in the U of the IOU, if I recall correctly. So a phenomenal finish there, too. Tell us a little bit about, you know, which you like more, the architecture or the history or the devastating synergy of the two of them combined, boys.
Yep.
So,
like any great golf course, it's a great test of golf anytime you step out on it. And as you play, you can't help but wonder those that have played in front of you and all these great championships and all of the, you just put yourself in the place of a great player coming down the finish of that golf course. Oh my goodness. You couldn't pump that much adrenaline.
We tried Graham McDowell's long putt from the back of the green, too. Trying to stop that ball from up there was impossible.
And I know I echo what our members do almost every day. They're always excited to be out at the club, and not just the lake course, but the ocean course and our Cliff Par 3, which has replaced somewhat of lost holes that we used for the ocean years ago, lost a little bit of land. To the Pacific, but we now have a beautiful Cliffs course, 9-hole par 3, which is great. So whenever you're out there, you do feel the history of the club. From always, we have a great picture of Bobby Jones from a visit back in the day, you know, all the way through all the great players. And then obviously our San Francisco history with Ken Venturi, Johnny Miller being the first junior member, and you know, Harvey Ward and all the greats of San Francisco golf have been there. So, great place. I go to work and I get excited every day just to be there.
Now, before we let you go, Bill, tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing at the club right now. I understand you're working on a bunker project.
Yes, in advance of the 2012 Open, we rebuilt all the greens, and not a lot of people were aware of that, but 14 of the 18 greens stayed almost exactly like they were, but we significantly altered four of them. But I think they proved to be stand up to the test of the tournament when that happens. But we did not do any of the bunkering at that time. So now with the advances that we've had in technology, better materials, we are rebuilding all the bunkers and putting liners in them so that they'll drain a little bit better and they'll play a little bit better. But I'm here to tell you that we have done a lot of work with not only the Green Committee, but there's a subcommittee for the reconstruction of the bunkers to make sure, and this was my battle cry from the beginning, is that we don't want to lose the intimidation and the challenge of these greenside bunkers. They are, you know, the white faces of Olympic. And even though if you're a student of history, and you know how architecture works, you might say, well, you know, those blast up faces are all a result of sand splash over 70 years, and that may be true. But when we're renovating them, we're putting those brows and those deep cavities right back in the way they are. And we're actually going to make them a little bit more challenging because we want to make sure that when we're dealing on this iconic golf course that never fails to protect par, that we're not going to make it any simpler. You can bet your money on that. So we are going to make it a little bit more visually interesting, but basically the bunkers are going to remain the same Olympic style, the same Olympic intimidation, the same set of Olympic sand faces right in your face, as they say.
Okay, your thoughts, Will, as well, with how everything looks to be shaping up for this season?
Well, obviously, very excited for a great year. We've already kicked off our tournament season. The weather out here has been fantastic. Another beautiful day today, almost. For those back in the East, they're not going to like hearing this, but it's almost 70 degrees today and hardly a cloud in the sky. So we have been very fortunate. We're excited for a great year. We are hosting the Transmit Amateur this summer. Once again, we support a lot of golf and give back to the game. And Transmit this year, we'll have a Pacific Amateur in a couple years, the State Am again. And then obviously we're gearing towards the Women's Open in 21. So a lot of exciting times at the Olympic Club and happy to be a part of it.
You also hosted the first USGA four ball last year, which was a wild success. Fantastic tournament, and we're so glad to see that that become a USGA championship. And hopefully we'll hear soon, Neander, it'd be wonderful to hear an announcement of another U.S. Open at Olympic Club. Is there hope that the club might get another one in the next few years?
Well, we're always, supporting golf on all levels, like I just mentioned, with amateur golf and USGA events and our friends also with the PGA. So we're always excited as a club. It is about the game. It is about the golf. We're an athletic club first and a golf club, but we like to support all these events. So, and this town, San Francisco, is one of the great cities in the world, if not the greatest city in the world. So, we're happy to look at those in the future.
Well, I had a great time out there last November, and I'm looking forward to, in a couple of months, to coming back out again and seeing you good folks and taking in all of my favorite sites. I had a terrific 15K run out there along the ocean's edge, so I'm hoping to reprise that when I come out. Bill Love and Will Hutter, thank you so much for coming on the Jays Play Show. Everybody, we will be back in just a little bit with the second half. I'm Jay Flummer, and this is the Golf NewsNet Radio Network.
We're at the end of another great Jays Play Show, but thank you all so much for joining in. It's no fun doing this to an empty room, but it sure is fun doing it for all of you guys, so thanks so much. I want to thank Fish for kindly letting me use their great music as the theme song for the show. Thanks, guys. I want to thank CyberGolf and Golf News Network, cybergolf.com/writerscorner, including me and all the other fine writers, and thegolfnewsnet.com/radio. Take us home, DJ Q.
Tune in next time for another great Jays Play Show on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
Thanks, guys. Catch y'all next time.